we have a conversation on language delay and speech delay in children. That episode is coming up. Also coming up on Health First Day, we'll be talking about male children's sexual abuse and how they can get over it, how you can assist your male child who has been abused sexually, how you can get him a therapy, treatment or something, and how you can know, how you can identify if your male child has been subjected to sexual abuse before. That's also coming up subsequent. In August, these two editions will come up in August on Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire. So watch out for those two. Today we're talking hepatitis. Our resident medical practitioner, Dr. Fred Unuigboha, is here in the studio with me this morning to discuss hepatitis. Dr. Fred, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
I love your hair, by the way. It's just that I don't have hair in my head. I'm bald.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I kind of like envy you all the time. You come into the studio with you. Not really. But I used to have hair. I used to have this big afro back in school.
No, they say I get cut before.
Dr. Fred, you are saying that to me.
I get cut before. Nobody the same thing as I get out now. But we understand. We know why.
Nice one. This is nice. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fred.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Let's begin with what hepatitis is. What is hepatitis?
Hepatitis simply means inflammation. So when you say inflammation, to make you understand, it means a form of injury, insult, any form of assault to your liver. To make you understand what hepatitis mean, anywhere you, I've said it before, anywhere you hear itis, anywhere you hear itis means inflammation, injury. So you could hear arthritis, the joint, conjunctivitis, the conjunctiva, pericarditis around the heart. So that is what it simply means, inflammation of your liver.
But this one concerns the liver.
The liver, hepatitis, hepa. So when you hear the word hepa, the liver.
I don't know whether hepa means
hepa,
liver.
Hepa means liver, actually. It means, so arthritis, your joints, conjunctivitis, your conjunctiva, periodontitis, the vision of your mouth, your tooth. Yeah, that's what it simply means.
Well, what are the symptoms, though? What are the signs?
So let's start like this. First of all, some people could have hepatitis without having any sign.
Oh, that's possible.
Yes, it's possible. The chronic carriers, they could be moving and they have it in the system and they're not aware and they could be spreading their virus. There are different causes.
So
the symptoms could range from non-specific. When I say non-specific, means someone could have fever, could have headache, could have loss of appetite, joint pains, could feel like wants to vomit or could even vomit. Could have abdominal pains. These are like non-specific symptoms. Now, when we're talking about problems, when it's now affecting the liver seriously, you see jaundice. Okay. Jaundice means the yellowness of the sclera. There's jaundice. There's
yellowness of the eyes.
The eyes, jaundice. You could see swelling. That is when the hepatitis has caused problems now in the liver.
Okay.
But in the beginning, it could look like any other thing. Most times, we usually ascribe these complaints, these symptoms to our common malaria, typhoid. Most of the non-specific symptoms like this.
We normally think that we have malaria,
typhoid, looks almost like it. Could look like anything.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. But at what point do you now distinguish it? At what point do you say that this is not malaria?
At the point where you're seeing jaundice, you're seeing dark-colored urine, you're seeing pale stool. Because of the functions of the liver, what the liver does. So when there are some things the liver keeps under control. When they are now excessive in the system, or they are deficient, you would see them expressed in the body. And one of them is bilirubin, that's the jaundice, because the body keeps bilirubin under control. Okay. So when you see the individual having yellowness of the eyes, urine is now becoming dark, the stool is becoming dark, you're seeing abdominal swelling, you're seeing leg swelling, then all pointers would be towards the liver is a problem.
How do people get hepatitis?
Get hepatitis, okay. This now takes us to the causes, first of all. So there are infective causes and there are non-infective causes.
Okay.
So the infective are majorly viral causes. So we have normally, we all know A, B, C, D, E. Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, C, D, and E. And there are other types of hepatitis caused by drugs, caused by alcohol, caused by autoimmune problems.
Hmm.
So for us here, because we are mostly concerned most times about the viral causes, and the one that we are usually worried about is hepatitis B.
Okay.
Though, yes, okay. There's hepatitis C too. Now, you get hepatitis B majorly through blood contacts. Through contacts, yes, with body fluids that has the virus in it. So, through sexual contact, you could get the virus. Also, for health workers, through needle stick injuries, could also get...
Because I was going to ask you, one of the questions I was going to ask you was that if it's an STD, but I guess you've mentioned that.
Yes.
So, it's an STD.
Sure.
It can be contracted through sexual intercourse.
Now, something about the HBV2 hepatitis B virus specifically. I had to write this down so that I would not forget. It's more infective than HIV.
Excuse me?
The hepatitis B virus is more infective than the HIV virus.
How?
That is the nature of the virus. The nature of
when you say more infective,
so which means if an individual is exposed to the HBV virus and HIV virus, this individual will get infected with the HBV before the HIV. Yes,
that's the nature of the virus.
That is not to say that HIV is also not that for public health importance, but just to let you know how infective it is, because most times we're always talking about HIV, you know, the advocacy for HIV is everywhere,
right?
So people feel like hepatitis B virus is just what is that, please? And some people are working with the virus.
I actually think that most people don't even know about hepatitis.
Most people don't
pay attention to it
at all. And when you bring up the conversation with them in the clinic, okay, let's check. Let's go in this direction. Let's see. Yeah, I bet that is not the reason why I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this is not the reason. I came to the clinic. This is what I want you to check for me. I didn't come to the clinic for you to check this.
My goodness me.
Yes.
We're still on the causes of hepatitis.
Yes.
We've done B, which is...
Yeah, hepatitis A. There's A.
Mm-hmm.
There's B. So, okay, A is gotten through the fecal-oral route. Fecal oral. So when you take water, take food contaminated with the A virus, you get then B and C, which usually have the same form of transmission. Then there is the D.
Okay.
For the D to be present, it needs the hepatitis B. This is quite deep though. For you to have the hepatitis D virus, you actually need the hepatitis B, because the virus needs the hepatitis B to survive.
And
there is the E virus too, hepatitis E virus. So, but of major importance to us is actually the B and C. Then for those who work in the food industries, the food handlers, we are concerned about the A, hepatitis A virus for them. These are for the viral causes, infective causes. Now, the non-infective causes of hepatitis, the drugs, the alcohol, then the autoimmune. So let me start with the drugs first of all. Drugs, people actually do not know. We've been clamoring and letting them understand that you don't just wake up and open your mouth to take any medication because you have access to it. This is why we're shouting again that we need to have drug regulations. People don't know there are up to 1,000 drugs that can actually damage your liver. But the reason why we don't have that is because your doctor gives you prescription and you take it as prescribed, and you are good to go.
Right.
But the most common drug that damages the liver is paracetamol, what we call acetaminophen. People think that paracetamol is just paracetamol. I can take paracetamol. No, paracetamol can actually damage your liver. Now, the reason why people don't see this problem is because the liver has huge ability to regenerate. It can, you can insult. When I use the word insult, you can give the liver whatsoever, and it will still take them to help you. It keeps going. You're damaging your liver. You've lost 10% of your liver. It can still function. You've lost 20% of your liver. It can still function. You've lost 30%. It can still function. You've lost 40, even 50. People could do liver transplant. They could take a segment of the liver and give to someone else, and the liver can regenerate itself. So we just feel that, I've been doing this for such a long time, and I've never had a problem. So why are you telling me this right now? You don't know that your liver is regenerating. It's trying to help you. Soon, one day, it could just fail. When you've lost a huge amount of your liver.
At what point would you say that paracetamol can damage the liver? I mean, the use of it.
The use of it. Chronic.
Because I've seen people actually who slightest feeling of headache is paracetamol. Slightest feeling of headache is paracetamol.
At what point would we say
it's dangerous?
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, because we understand that the liver can regenerate.
Yeah.
So you can take whatever and it will help you. Now, beyond a certain dose and chronic use, beyond a certain dose and chronic use, you could take the dose, you could take a very high dose acutely and you could still get a problem with your liver. You could damage, most especially if your liver already has background problems before. So you could take this high dose that other people have been taking and they've been getting away with it, and you might not get away with it.
Indeed.
And the funny thing about it is that your paracetamol could damage your liver and you're right. moving, then something else could just come in one day on top of the liver and just bring it out.
Is it possible for especially the hepatitis A to be in the system and you get cured without any treatment? The reason I'm asking this yes. question is, you know, you mentioned that it can be contaminated through fecal aura.
Yeah.
Food and everything, yes. consumption.
Yes.
Is it possible to be in the system and get cured without any treatment?
Your body can actually clear most of these viruses. Some people are lucky, the body will clear it and you're good to go. Number two, hepatitis B and hepatitis C causes chronic hepatitis infection. Chronic
B and C.
And C, chronic. So when we say chronic, means it stays with you long, for a very long time. Why the A, the D, the E, they do not have the chronic phase of the infection.
Okay.
So when we understand that, simply means that you're having this infection, your body could deal with it, you could be lucky, it could give you symptoms, could give you problems, you could manage it, you're gone. But the chronic form, the B and C, when they say chronic, could lead on and cause problems for you beyond just the hepatitis.
Now, let me give you the part two of that question. And the part two is, the reason I ask the question is because a lot of people do mama put a lot. We buy pure water in traffic. We drink. We go to restaurants that are, let's just say restaurants. You know, even high class restaurants, that they protect you from that. But does it mean that all of these people have been exposed at one point or the other to hepatitis?
When you say oh, you just want to set everybody right now, everybody says say oh. Let's say some, we don't know who, where, when. The major concern is the insult to the liver. The hepatitis A virus can cause hepatitis, can cause insults to your liver. So imagine if you are getting this repeated insult.
Repeatedly.
Just imagine you are eating here, you are eating there, you don't even know the hygiene status of the people preparing your food for you. So repeatedly, you're just going repeatedly insulting. I'm using the word insult that we can all understand, causing problems to your liver repeatedly. And you're losing, and the liver cannot regenerate itself at the speed at which you are damaging the liver. So most times, it's not just about the A virus. Sometimes you could have the A virus, you could have alcohol intake, you understand, you could be taking medication. So you're just compounding the insult upon the liver.
Another question I'm thinking right now, because I want to go to the telephone to go get some questions, is that are we saying that the virus is heat resistant? Because, I mean, when you're preparing food, you kind of heat the food up and everything before it can get done. Is it heat resistant?
Okay, so the particular nature of virus I particularly understand right now is for the hepatitis B.
Okay.
The hepatitis B virus can survive in an environment up to about minus 20 degrees centigrade.
Okay.
And up to 60 degrees centigrade. But so if you have a temperature within that range, the hepatitis B, for the B, I really do not have that details for the A though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the B can survive in that environment, minus 20 and up to 60 degrees centigrade. This therefore means that if you prepare whatever you want to prepare, let's say up to about 100 degrees, you could destroy the hepatitis B virus.
Okay.
If we prepare something like that. Now, you understand that it's the water we are talking about. Water, your fruits.
Yeah.
Most times, your fruits.
Those are raw.
And most of the things we cook. No, we're almost in a hurry every time.
Yeah.
We're in a hurry. Sharp. Fast food.
Yeah.
You're not spending much time. I don't want this thing to be too hot. Please. When you cook it too much, you spoil this.
Yeah.
And everybody's out. So.
Oh, you're right on that one.
When you understand that minus 20 to plus 60 degrees, this virus can survive. So if you want to destroy the hepatitis B virus, you need a temperature of about 100 degrees centigrade, and you need a chemical such as the sodium hypochlorite, the bleach.
Okay.
The bleach can actually destroy the virus too.
And that one is consumable?
No, it's a chemical. Okay. For cleaning.
Oh, for cleaning. Cleaning, yeah. Let's make it very clear. Yes, so that people will not go and be looking for something. Let's go to the telephone and get some thoughts, questions for Dr. Fred this morning. 8:21 is the time. 0700-993-993-993. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's Health Thursday on Nigeria Info's Morning Growth Power. We're discussing hepatitis this morning on the show. So please, when you're calling, turn off your radio. It's very important that you do that. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. My name is Dapo Hajiboye. I'm calling from Ogba.
Welcome, Dapo.
Thank you. I've listened to the doctor. 20, 25 years ago, I wanted to donate blood. And that was the first time I got to know that I have hepatitis. And I asked, why am I not seeing any symptoms and all sort of. They told me that I have grown immunity against it. I want to know whether that is correct or not. Since then, I've not had any problem. But unfortunately, later on, around 7 years ago, I wanted to donate blood again. I thought, yeah. Then they told me in another hospital that I don't have hepatitis. Then again, I went to another hospital. He said I had also. So I want to know what could be the problem.
Okay.
At least four hospitals don't have. Have then the first one is that I have grown immunity against it,
right?
And I wanted to know what actually caused it, because I knew they told me that while I was small, I was crawling, I have to go to the cupboard of the first aid cupboard, late 60.
Okay,
that I injected so many drugs that it was hospital that
Ekonkojeni
sure that actually saved me.
Okay,
so maybe. Then I have a lot of fever while I was small, so I used a lot of drugs. That has been the contributory factor. Then I want you to tell us what are the things that the people that have hepatitis will not actually deal with in terms of food, eating.
Okay.
What should you not eat?
Okay.
What should you eat moderately?
Okay.
And so forth. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh, wow. What a first call. I'm glad that you called in. Very glad.
Wonderful call. Wonderful call. Number one, he said, okay, let's start. Yeah, this question is so detailed and has a lot of discussions in it. First of all, you've been positive for the past 25 years. First of all, I'm just assuming, of all, that you're positive for 25 years. Remember that some people can get this infection. And before they come down with severe problems of the liver, it could take up to 20, 30 years.
Whoa.
When you go back again and understand how your liver operates and functions, then you'll know that the liver can actually withstand this, could go on and on and on, 20, 30 years, before you're coming down with the very bad form of chronic hepatitis infection, where it causes cirrhosis.
Okay.
That's number one. Mm-hmm. Then the other one he spoke about was the different facilities, telling him you are positive today, you're negative, you're positive. Let me be sincere with you. I don't know why it happened, number one. Number two, if for any reason I see someone with a positive hepatitis, maybe most likely to the strip, you must send them to a facility, a reference facility, where they check for the antibodies to a certain part of the hepatitis. It's what we call the B-specific antigen, the B-surface antigen, the E-core, the HC antigen. When they check that, they can now tell you, if this particular positivity is due to having been vaccinated before,
right,
or due to the infection. Just seeing somebody and saying you are positive is not enough. Don't just test somebody.
You need further examination.
You need further to prove it.
Dr. Fred, we'll come back and talk about his immunity question. Let's go to break. We need to take this break right now.
Okay.
We'll be back, Lagos. We can see your calls. We'll be back.
We're back on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Oh yes, we're back on the Crossfire Health Thursday. Today we're talking hepatitis with Dr. Fred Unigbohai, our resident medical practitioner here at Kuwa Zobia Info. Dr. Fred, thank you again for joining us on the show
today.
Thank you very much. So before the break, we're talking about the first caller.
Yes.
His questions here, he adds quite a number. You've responded to, I think, two.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one spoke about, he asked about the immunity now.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. I said before that some people could get this infection and you would never come down with any symptom. The only time we would know that you're infected is maybe when you go for screening. You would just be there and find like, oh, you are asymptomatic. And in that regard, your body will surely build antibodies. You will surely see antibodies. And this is why we know you have the infection, because we can see the antibodies. Yeah, this is why we have to know. Some others could have the infection, then they could come down with symptoms. Later, they go back again fine. Why some people could get the infection, and the next thing we know is they're coming down with a problem with the liver. The next thing he asked again about what to avoid. Yes, okay, for those that have hepatitis.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't tell you exactly what to avoid when we don't even know what stage of your infection. If you are at the early stage, no deranged liver enzymes. Your liver enzymes are okay, no deranged whatsoever. We'll tell you, okay, avoid abuse of medications such as paracetamol and alcohol.
Yeah.
But if you have a problem with your liver enzymes, then your doctor will now base his decision and his advice based on your liver enzymes and the symptoms you're coming down with. So generally, we'll advise you to stay away from abuse of medications. Now, I'm calling medications. Don't forget that herbal concussions are also part of They are part of it. Let's not just feel that it's
all
just...
you from Inikbalebe, all of you.
Yes, yes. You are, let me use the word, burning your liver, so you can understand what I'm talking about. So there are medication drugs that you see in the pharmacies. There are herbal concussions that can damage your liver. There's also been report about some certain types of supplements too that can still... So it's broad, and studies are ongoing concerning this. Let's just not feel that I can get away with whatever you're getting away with.
Yeah.
You're actually causing problems to your liver.
What's your advice to the gentleman, the same caller, that seemed to believe that he has immunity, but then again results are popping up, positive, negative? What should he do? Should he just go for... I don't know. What should he do? Oh, he's okay.
I wouldn't say he's okay right now. First of all, he's not okay psychologically. You understand? Are you telling me I'm positive today?
Yeah.
Then after 6 months, I'm negative. Next time again, telling me I'm positive. We need to be sure exactly where he lies. Are you positive or negative? That's the most important thing. So I advise him to go see a gastroenterologist.
Okay.
A gastroenterologist will be in the best place to interpret whatever results that will be coming for him. Do not move around anymore. I think we're done with that. Just go see a gastroenterologist, lay your complaints to him or her, and you surely be given the best advice.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get back to the telephone, Dr. Fred. Look at your telephone. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, no. We lost that.
Sorry.
Apologies for that. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
All right, my name is Bami.
Welcome to me.
I'm calling you from Igondo.
Good to have you.
All right, thank you, Sheriff. And thank you, Dr. Fred.
Thank you, Dami.
All right, I'm actually calling in respect of my husband.
Okay.
Because last year, he was diagnosed of hepatitis B. That was when he had this hernia surgery.
Okay.
So that was when that was discovered.
Okay.
And immediately it was discovered, we actually started the treatment. We went to National Institute of Medical Research in Yaba.
Okay.
So we went to run the viral load test, and we started out sometimes in December last year. And when we were at Yaba, we were told to come back again for the repeat test.
Okay.
Do you understand? So we've been for the repeat test. We did run sometimes in June this year. Then we were asked to come again back in December.
Okay.
So they keep giving him every 6 months... what's it called, schedule for you to come in. But they didn't actually break down the results to us to know which is in. But what we have to do is X-ray. We did X-ray. We did a whole lot of tests.
Okay.
So what can you actually advise, or how do we go about? Because there was a time that I was actually worried. And I was like, well,
rightly
we don't have an idea. And
they
should have told us the results. Okay, in the early stage, and the mid stage, or you are developed. The doctor that always given is fine. There's no cirrhosis. There's nothing.
Okay.
But they are not giving us what we need. I don't know if there could be a drug or something one could use.
Okay.
So I'll need you to expatiate on that, please.
All right, Dami.
And also on the food, they were told not to eat red meat and all the likes. So what's your advice?
All right, Dami.
Back on their nutrition.
All right. All right, Dami. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me apologize on behalf of the medical practitioners who didn't explain to you. And I need to say this again, again and again. Please, when you go see your doctor, and you don't feel satisfied with the information, please ask. Please ask. I'm saying it. Please ask. Please ask. I know why I'm saying this, because people ask me what is going on with me, and I feel impressed when they ask, like, wow, you really want to know. Yeah. I beg. All I need is I'm fine. Please ask your doctors exactly what is happening. Mm. Why should I come back in 6 months? Mm. Do I need to take any medication again? Or why are you telling me this? Why? It's very important. Now, the reason he's coming back every 6 months, I'll tell you the major reason. It's a part of the management for follow-up. They're trying to monitor and see if his condition would lead towards the areas of complication. Most people could have the hepatitis, and before you know what is happening, the liver enzymes are now becoming deranged, and they are having liver problems with the liver. So you give follow-up to monitor closely. It's part of the treatment protocol.
Okay.
Now, when they told him to stop taking red meat and the rest, maybe there is something actually wrong with the liver. That is why they are giving that. I don't know, because we understand that some people could have problem with hepatitis. They could have fatty liver. Some people could have hypertension. Some could have diabetes. So there's a whole lot of factors you consider before advising. The treatment and the advice you give to the patient are individualistic based, not just random to everybody.
Okay.
This is why you must ask them. Don't just see wherever hospital you find yourself, ask your doctor. The information is important, not just for you, for future sake, in case you are seeing another doctor who wants to find out your history, what has been done for you, what medications have been given to you. I don't know. You don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
I understand
you have to know. It's your right to know.
Mm. I understand that the health system in this part of the world is strained massively.
Mm.
The health workers are tired. There's no time to explain, but do well to ask. It's better you ask and you're not being told than just moving like that. Hmm?
Mm.
Sorry for that, Dami.
Sorry. She also asked about the food.
About the food. Yes. So I mentioned the food because I don't know right now. You could check the liver enzymes and you discover that this person has other problems attached to it.
Yeah.
Generally, I have said that if you have problems with hepatitis, you should avoid alcohol. You should avoid alcohol and what other again? Generally, alcohol. Then balance, work on your lifestyle. Not generally, work on your lifestyle. Lifestyle would help you. Lifestyle modification will help you. So everything you should take right now should be in moderation. Alcohol and drugs, yes. Alcohol and drug and paracetamol. Okay. And then alcohol. If you're the type that takes alcohol, please, you have to stay away from it. It can increase the progression, the rates.
Yeah.
That's why they are monitoring him every six months.
How about the red meat part?
The red meat part now is the one I can't actually say they are telling him. Maybe there is something else. Maybe there is something else. But I won't tell everybody that has hepatitis to stay from red meat. You know what that means right now. She's staying away. It looks like you're saying there's everybody with hepatitis stay from red meat. I didn't see that. I'm not a gastroenterologist to tell you that. But I believe it's based on individual.
I'll take this WhatsApp message from Alaji Olorun Ojegbese from Mushi. Alaji said that how can hepatitis be effectively treated? That's his question.
There is no specific, let me just say this. Now, if you have hepatitis, this is the medication you must take. No specific. Unless you're not having problems, the management will not be tied to the problem seen.
Right.
There are some other stuff, medications that could be given to you, though not common. There are antivirals that could be given too, but it's tied to, remember, your viral load is tied to your symptoms, it's tied to the extent of your liver damage to see if they can stop the progression of the hepatitis and the damage on your liver to see if they can help you manage your symptoms. So telling you that this is the specific medication for hepatitis, there is none right now. And this is the medication is tied to the extent of your liver pathology.
Indeed. We'll take another one from WhatsApp. We go back to telephone afterwards. This person says, please, what is the implication of HBV DNA quantity by PCR? 139 IU over ml. I don't know what that means. Please pardon me. It says low viral load level. Test is positive, but no symptoms, and all vital organs are normal. Did you understand what I just?
I did, though.
Okay,
I did.
Because even me, I do understand
what the so it's like the person has the result right now.
Okay,
he's done the test. Now, when I told you that when you're positive, you have to go for some certain type of test, what he's sending to us is one of those stuff.
Okay.
So, you didn't tell me right now. You didn't add in your text message if you went there or your own on your own or if you were sent there to do the test by your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, people would get an opinion from their doctor, but they'll still want to get another opinion from another medical practitioner. So when the test told you low viral load, viral load, which is very important, low viral load means your viral load is low. The virus is not replicating massively.
Okay.
Because the virus replicates.
Okay.
When we say replicates, means trying to multiply and increase in number.
Mm.
When the viral load is low, it means it's not replicating as fast as it should, and you are in code safe, or since I really know
the context. Should he go for treatment? I mean, what are he?
I don't even know why.
Why he went there
for you to
place.
Have that result, it means it was given to you, it was prescribed by a doctor for you.
Let's speak with Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a first time caller, he's calling you on Shemolu. Emmanuel, morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning. Yes, please.
I'm a diehard listener of your radio station.
Thank you.
Thank you for your good work.
Thank you.
Sometimes in 2014, I came down with hepatitis B, and then I went to the hospital. That was when they diagnosed me hepatitis B. I came down with severe illness.
Okay.
And then redishness of eye and all that. But eventually, I was given some drugs after the test and all of that. They said it was hepatitis B. Then recently, I think about 2-3 weeks ago, I've been going to the hospital.
Okay.
And I went, they did various tests, about 4 different tests. And then last week I went to back to the hospital, and the doctor told me that that my immune system was able to fight off the virus, stuff like that, and that I'm a healthy carrier, stuff like that. So I want the doctor to actually
expatiate on
what that healthy carrier is.
Right.
Although I asked the doctor as well, what was the result? What was the reason for the outcome?
It's
mentioned here, lifestyle as well.
Okay.
And I'm a kind of person who is very much into fruits and vegetables as well.
Okay.
And then I don't drink, I don't smoke, and all of that. So all I want to talk to guests.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, Dr. Fred.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
Mm.
So healthy carrier, we have 2 words then, but one, you are healthy, so for you, you are good.
Okay.
Carrier means you have the stuff with
the
you,
virus.
Mm. Virus with you. You could pass the virus to someone else.
Oh.
You could pass. You could be when we say carrier,
yeah.
So you have it and you have no problem. But those around
pass it how?
True body fluid.
So it can happen.
True body fluid.
Sexual intercourse.
Yes.
Okay.
It can happen.
Let me quickly speak with Gift. We have a lot of people on the line, so we have to be, and we're running out of time. Gift is in the corridor, and Gift is a first-time caller. Gift, hi. Good morning to you.
Hello. I'm not a first-time caller in Nigeria,
Okay. Welcome.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mar.
Doctor, you have a case with me you've not settled.
Hey.
Yes. There was a you were in Joy's program. You talk about drugs people take and the effects.
Yes.
Remember, I called you.
Yes.
You even mentioned about paracetamol.
Yes.
So there was no time that day for you to finish. You say you were going to continue with the episode. You hung it. You didn't.
What was the question you asked him then, quickly?
The question I asked was that, what is the effect that paracetamol had in that? I was the person that told you that I've been taking paracetamol for over 20 years.
Yes.
And that's the
Oh,
that is the only pain relief that
works for you.
Okay, all right. Let him quickly answer you quickly because of time. Huh? Thank you, Gift.
Okay. Sorry. What is
over 20 years?
Over 20 years. If I'm seeing you for the very first time, I would not give you anything. I must first of all check your liver. First of all, let's see if this duration of medication has caused a problem. Your liver, first of all. Whatever we find, we cannot continue. That's number one. Remember, I'm going to say it and say it again, paracetamol can damage your liver. Most times, people don't know that you need your liver to breathe. I'm using the word breathe, to rest from that paracetamol that you are taking. If you're telling me you've been on paracetamol 20 years, are you taking it every day? Are you taking it once in a month? Are you taking it twice a week, every month? It's not just to tell me that you've been on it for 20 years. Almost everybody we've been on
She says she's the only pain relief
that works for her. So we need to understand, first of all,
how often
first. Is it every day? Is it once in a week? Is it once a month? This could now let us know that madam, please, you are safe.
Let me see if she's the one that is here. Hello, is this Gift?
It's not give to.
Okay. Oh yeah.
I want to ask my own question.
Okay, ma.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sharif.
Good morning, ma.
You know, some of us, we are old.
I know.
Pains.
I know.
Pains, yeah. Particularly this rainy season.
Yes, yes.
The pains, you know, even double the ones you've been
before,
managing.
Yes.
And some of us, we take this pain relieving
medication
tablet.
Yes.
Like all this, your diclofen. You keep taking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wear off. You come
you
back.
Come back
it wear off. Mm-hmm. What is this? Or what is alternative for people like us?
Yeah. Ah, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you too for calling.
I have a personal issue with regards to this stuff too,
okay.
Because I know what it can do for you and the damage it can cause in the body. What I tell people is this: if for any reason you are going to take this medication, it has to be for a certain duration. It has to be for a certain duration. You can't tell me that you're having joint pains. We know people have arthritis. You can't be on this medication continuously. You would never go free. Your kidney, your liver would not be exempted from the problems attached to this medication. So you need time. This is why I tell people, speak with your doctor. I can tell you, please take this medication for 3 days. After 3 days, take a break. Maybe next week we could come back again to it. But you taking it every day because you need it. No, I know there are pains over there, but where the pains and where kidney problem, where the pains and where liver problems, we need to look for a way to manage them. Can we use massage? Can we use other forms of physiotherapy to help you?
Right.
This is why you need to see a doctor. We now make it like a collaborative effort in managing you.
Gift is back on the line, but we're processing. Okay, yeah, she's here. So, Gift, can you please answer the doctor's question?
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. He was asking if I take it every day or once. There are times I could take it once in 2 weeks. It depends on the way my body feels. There are times I could take it a whole week every day. There are times once in 2 weeks. There are times probably twice a month. So it depends the way my body feels.
Depends the way your body feels.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Gift.
Now, having said that, I wouldn't feel too worried. I will only feel concerned now. I'm using the word concerned. If we now check your body, we do some tests for you, and we now see the state of your liver. So if you're taking it once a week, twice a week, sometimes a whole
twice
week,
in a month.
Or twice in a month, then I believe you're giving your liver some time to also regenerate and adapt to that. So I'm not really worried. But
All right.
Those who are taking it every day,
let's take this one before our next caller comes on. Cyril is in Lagos. Cyril says, is it normal when a urine is yellowish in color? He says that he's been having this color of urine since he was a child till date.
you want to take a story for that. You want to take us to another dimension entirely. I do have some videos I posted online. I post online concerning stuff like this. It gives you a little idea of what's going on with you. And when you listen to something like that, you now have a little understanding. Then you know what your problem is and how to ask your question. So I can't really tell you this is your problem. This is your problem.
Yeah. Go see a doctor, sir.
Yes. Go see a doctor.
Lucas is in Ikeja. He's a first time caller. Lucas, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, long time ago, I tested hepatitis.
Okay.
So, before getting married, so that's why I realized that I went for a test, HIV test, other tests with marriage. So, really, they told me that I have hepatitis. So, I've been going for treatment like let's say 1 year. Although I have HMO, so HMO they treat me like 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I've given drugs for like six months. After 6 months, I've been going for the hospital. So eventually they stopped treating because it's too cost for the HMO.
Okay.
So since then, I've not had any symptom. Then I don't know the stage.
Okay.
But it was hepatitis B.
What would you want the question to? What's your question really?
Yes, I don't have. I've been treating myself like 2 years.
Okay.
Less than 2 years. Okay. Yeah. So I don't have any problem like feeling like fever before, you know, chest pain, you know.
Stay on the line, Lucas. Doctor, do you have any question for him? Stay on the line.
No question, actually. What I will tell you to do is go for a checkup. Not for a treatment right now.
Okay.
Go for a checkup. Checkup could be they could do some tests for you or general.
Okay.
Yeah, just go for a checkup right now.
Okay.
All right, Lucas. Thank you for calling. We appreciate that. What I will do right now is I need to ask my own questions. You people have tried. Let me quickly ask Doctor. Can children contract hepatitis?
The answer is 100% yes.
Children
can. contract hepatitis. This is why for women that have given birth before,
okay,
you notice that when you give birth to your child, they give them some certain forms of vaccine.
Okay.
Hepatitis is one of them. Because when you talk about chronic infection with hepatitis, the age at which that individual got infected is very important to determine if you will come down with chronic infection. So if someone gets infected with hepatitis B virus at a very young age,
okay,
the chance of that person coming down with a problem, chronic infection later in the future, is very high because of the duration. So before you get into 20, 30, the virus has been there. This is why we advise that people get vaccinated. You get vaccinated to protect yourself from the virus. That's why they give children the vaccines.
All right. So as an adult, is it possible to still get vaccinated after getting vaccinated as a child?
So there have been conversations that you need booster dose. Actually, it's supposed to be 3 doses.
Okay.
You take the first one, then 1 month later, you take, then 6 months later, you take the third dose.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some people do believe that after the third dose, maybe later, 5-10 years, you take a booster dose again. For health workers, it's advisable that you must get vaccinated with the vaccine because of the risk you're exposed to, blood and whatever. If you've been vaccinated before, look at the duration of your vaccination program. Okay, I think it's been up to 10 years. Do I need a booster dose? Do I need a booster dose? Okay, fine. I think you need a booster dose. 15 years, do I need a booster dose? So I would advise everybody, first of all, please know your hepatitis B virus status. If you have not been vaccinated, please go get the vaccine.
Indeed, doctor. Let's go to break. We'll take a short break. Huh? When we return, we'll coast home on the show this morning. Join us again.
This is an infomercial.
Hello, beautiful people of Lagos and beyond. I bring you good tidings from North.
One station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We're back on the Crossfire, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We have less than 2 minutes to go. Dr. Fred, we must go.
Yes, we have to go.
First and foremost, before we go, yeah? So people can get vaccinated.
Yes.
And they can get vaccinated where?
If you go to any government facility.
Okay, you can get vaccinated.
Yes.
For hepatitis.
Sure.
All right, but I have lots of questions here. The phone lines are still buzzing and everything. How can people reach you on social media?
Okay, on social media, Fred Oster underscore MD. Fred Oster underscore MD on social media. Fred Oster underscore MD on social media. But please, let's take note. I cannot and I don't manage on social media. I will always advise you to please go see your doctor. I could tell you, okay, this and this, but I don't prescribe. I beg. Please, listen. I have so many questions like that.
Look at your face.
I don't prescribe. I don't treat on social media. I beg.
Dr. Fred.
I beg. You can also meet me tomorrow in my program.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, 2:30 p.m. On Fridays. It's no more on Tuesdays. Now on Fridays.
Yeah, it's now on Friday.
Yes.
Dr. Fred Unugbohai, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, sir.
I'm Sherif Quadri. I'm on social media at Sherif Quadri. Good morning to you, Lagos. I'm out of here.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.